tweet at Today SOR.
David McCullough, good morning to you.
Morning, Sean.
We decided to get your wisdom and insights about government formation because you are the acknowledged expert on the formation of the first coalition that we had in this country. Five parties involved, and you wrote a book about it after a doctoral thesis, The Makeshift Majority. I suppose there was a desperation on the part of those trying to put it together to actually get it put together, not least because Fianna Fáil had had, what was it, it was 16 years of uninterrupted power?
16 years and no sign of De Valera giving up power easily either. I was just thinking about it there. That government was put together in the space of 7 days. So it puts our current politicians to shame a bit in that regard. And as you say, five parties, wildly disparate policy platforms, plus a bunch of independents led by James Dillon, six independents to make up the numbers as well. And it looked like mission impossible at the start, because as you say rightly, Fianna Fáil had been in power for 16 years. They had the largest number of seats, and De Valera was expecting to be returned to government. But everybody knew that if he was returned to government, he was quite likely to pull a similar trick to the one he'd pulled when he was in a minority before in 1932, in 1937, and in 1943. He had another election within a year and won a majority. So everybody knew if De Valera got back into the Taoiseach's office, there was likely to be another election and the smaller parties would lose out. So all of the opposition parties, there was lots that divided them, but there was something that brought a couple of things that brought them together. First off, they knew they'd no chance of getting their feet around the cabinet table with De Valera, because Fianna Fáil at that stage ruled out coalition government, aligned the party maintained until 1989. And also, all of the opposition parties really disliked De Valera for opposite reasons. Fine Gael disliked him because they held him responsible for starting the Civil War. The Republicans, Sean McBride and the new Clan na Publicta party, disliked him because he had cracked down on the IRA during World War II. So they all had reasons to dislike him. And when they knew that their only chance of getting into government, getting their hands on the levers of power and so on, was to actually form this rather unlikely coalition.
And it must have been a kind of a nose-holding exercise for some of those people in Fine Gael particularly to do business with a man who had been previously, what, chief of staff of the IRA?
He was. He was briefly chief of staff of the IRA. It involved a fair bit of nose-holding on McBride's part as well, and Clan na Publicta. It was only very narrowly accepted by the party's executive to go into government with Fine Gael. And there was two big problems facing Richard Mulcahy, the leader of Fine Gael, when he tried to put together this coalition. The first was he didn't have a majority, and I'll get back to that in a second. And the second was that some of the other parties wouldn't accept him as Taoiseach in any coalition government, because he had been, of course, Commander-in-Chief of the National Army during the Civil War after Michael Collins' death, and was held responsible for the execution of many Republican prisoners. So he was ruled out as a Taoiseach, so they had to find an alternative. And the other problem was they didn't have a majority, because one of the five parties was a crowd called National Labour. And National Labour was a splinter group from the main Labour Party, and it had broken away in 1943 or 44 because of allegations that the main Labour Party had been infiltrated by communists, if you can believe that. But it was mainly, it was under the control of the ITGWU, the biggest union in the country, and the union was quite keen on Fianna Fáil, so the party's national executive wanted National Labour to vote for De Valera as Taoiseach. It was only at the last minute that National Labour broke away and agreed to support the coalition government. The person that was chosen as the alternative Taoiseach was John A. Costello, a former Attorney General and a very senior barrister, a leading barrister at the time. And everybody seemed to agree that it was a really good idea. He'd be a brilliant Taoiseach. The only person who didn't agree was John A. Costello himself, who really didn't want the job and kept arguing against it. And in subsequent years, he's sometimes portrayed as being more interested in making money in the bar than in taking the job. And that's the reason he didn't want to do it. But actually, it was because he really didn't think he was up to the job. And he wrote a letter to his son, Declan, later Attorney General himself, of course, who was in Switzerland at the time recuperating from TB. And he said it wasn't giving up the bar or anything like that. It was a fear amounting almost to terror that I wouldn't be up to the job and the whole thing would be a flop. So he had a rather endearing amount of self-doubt.
And humility, needless to say, which is a rare thing in politicians. Is it true he had to be pulled off a golf course or something like that to get him engaged engaged in the idea of becoming Taoiseach?
Not exactly. He played his regular game of golf on a Sunday in Portmarnock, and on the Sunday in question, he was playing with his normal group, and he was trying to wrestle with his decision about whether or not he should actually take up the job. But eventually, his friends told him, "If you're involved in politics, you're playing with fire, and you have to accept you'll get burnt sometime."
I see. So it's kind of a variation on the senior hurling metaphor. So you mentioned what, 5 parties, 6 independents. Now, did those independents have much in common?
Well,
apart from a dislike of De Valera,
not really. I mean, they range from Dillon, who I've mentioned, of course, who came from a Home Rule Party background, to the likes of Oliver J. Flanagan, who's a rather eccentric figure on the Irish political scene at the time, to put it mildly. So they were a fairly wide ranging bunch, and they didn't have an awful lot in common, except Dillon managed to persuade them that it'd be a terribly good idea for them all to band together and put him in cabinet. And then there was big divisions between the other parties. Fine Gael at the time, very conservative, very right-wing, pro-Commonwealth by and large. Clan na Publicta, I've already mentioned, left-wing Republican Party, the Labour Party, the National Labour Party, and then Clan na Tuilleadh, the Small Farmers Party. So there were very wide range of ideology, but they did have this glue to bring them together. One, they didn't like De Valera, and two, they knew if they got together, they could get into government. If they didn't get together, they'd never see the cabinet table at all. And they came together. They came up with this 10-point plan. Not exactly the programme for government you'd see nowadays. It's literally only 10 points. Increase agricultural and industrial production. Who could argue with that? Housing drive. Who could argue with that? Decrease the cost of living, tax unreasonable profits, which they didn't actually get round to, a social security plan that they didn't get round to, remove unpopular taxes that have been introduced the previous year on tobacco, beer and cinema tickets. They did that, all right. Extra facilities for TB patients. They did that. Establish a council of education. They did that. A national drainage plan. They did that. And change the means test for widows, blind and old age pensions, which they also did. So there was something there pretty much for everybody. And that allowed them to start off in government. And the other thing they did that gave them a bit of cohesion, they were in the fortunate position at the time that the Marshall Plan was underway. So there was money available. Ireland didn't get very much in terms of outright grants, but it was able to access loans. So they were able to pay for things like the drainage plan, which was very expensive but very popular in rural parts of Ireland, and increased facilities for TB patients. So they actually had access to money which hadn't really been available prior to that.
Mentioning TB, I mean, it wasn't until the next government or the next subsequent inter-party government that Noel Brown emerged on the scene, isn't
that
right?
No, it was. This was Noel Brown was appointed to cabinet as Minister for Health on his first day in the Dáil.
In this government?
In this government, the first inter-party government, yeah. So he led the fight against TB, and in fairness to him, he did it brilliantly, because he generated an awful lot of publicity and enthusiasm, and he was able to build on plans that had already been in place. The previous Fianna Fáil Minister for Health, Jim Ryan, had plans in place for building sanatoria in various different places, and one of the demands Sean McBride, the leader of Clan na Publicta, made before he went into government was that they'd be able to use money from the sweepstakes to build extra hospital facilities. So he had the plans, thanks to McBride, he had the money, and of course also new drugs came on the scene at the time. So they all helped, along with his own flair for publicity, to really reduce the incidence of TB. Very similar to what's happening today, yeah, in fact, that people had to be taken away from their families to stop the spread of the disease.
Looking at the disparate nature of this and the if you like, the difference in the parties and then the collection of independents who were brought together, and going back to what you said at the start, David, about John A. Costello's fears for, you know, his ability to run the show. How did he do? How did he fare out as Taoiseach running that cabinet?
I think he did pretty well. I mean, first thing you have to say is everybody, when it started, even Mulcahy thought it would only last about 6 months, but it was worth doing to give, you know, bring about a change of government. But it actually lasted 3.5 years. Despite the differences between them, they were able to work in harness pretty well, although collective responsibility went out the window and people said things outside the cabinet room that they probably shouldn't have. At one point, Paddy McGilligan, the Minister for Finance, said, said in the Dáil when he was being criticised for this. Have we come to the stage where men, just because they sit around the cabinet table, have to agree in public? Well, actually, yes. That's what collective responsibility implies. But anyway, they got away with that. Costello, of course, is famous for the Declaration of the Republic, which is controversial, but probably in the long run was a good thing because it allowed Ireland to, allowed the states to finally be seen internationally as independent from Britain, which it hadn't been up to then. And also the mother and child crisis, which is interesting that it wasn't mentioned in that 10 points because the mother and child scheme had been included in legislation brought through by Fianna Fáil the previous year. It had been opposed by Fine Gael, but it was supported by all the other parties. So the mother and child crisis is normally seen as a church-state battle, but really was more about Fine Gael being against it because of its ties to the medical profession, while the other parties within the government were in favour of it. So a little bit more complicated than people remember. Yeah. But I think overall, Costello did a pretty good job. And people forget sometimes that the first inter-party government lost power, not because of the mother and child scheme or anything exciting like that, but because of a row over the price of milk. Some of the independents supporting the government wanted a rise in the price of milk, and James Dillon refused to give it to them. And the parties, Fine Gael did well in the subsequent election, Clann na Poblachta did badly, but they almost had a majority ready to go back into government, except Noel Brown and some of the other people who'd left Clann na Poblachta after the Mother and Child Scheme voted for De Valera instead in 1951.
Right. Now, David, I suppose every government, inter-party or otherwise, it particularly if there's unlikely bedfellows, it needs some sort of a glue to hold them together. Antipathy towards Dev, I suppose, did the trick on that last occasion. Might coronavirus be enough of a glue this time to put a government together?
Well, it might, I suppose, but the question is how long that glue will maintain its adhesive quality when the virus hopefully is behind us in the next couple of months, although obviously there'll be a major rebuilding operation for the economy. So it might provide the impetus at the start, but I think parties would probably need more to keep them together over the long run than that.
And lastly, in your book, A Makeshift Majority, I think you quote a senior civil servant, secretary, in fact, of the Department of Finance, giving a piece of advice to a young advisor, an economic advisor to the Taoiseach.
That's right. J.J. McElligott was the rather austere Secretary of the Department of Finance. He had his views of politicians, not very complimentary. And he was talking to Paddy Lynch, who was subsequently a professor in UCD, but at the time was an economic advisor to Jack Costello, who had been making some public speeches about the need for capital investment and all. And McElligott met Lynch on the steps of the department one morning. And he said, you're a young man, I'll give you one piece of advice. The more politicians know, the more dangerous they are.
Some things don't change. David, thank you indeed for that. David McCullough, primetime presenter, also presenter of This Week and author of A Makeshift Majority, the First Inter-Party Government, 1948-51, published by the Institute of Public Administration, £18 in old money.